Alrighty. So, and as fathers, we're fathers because we have children, right? And ultimately, we are all, if we profess God as our Savior, we are all God's children, right? And we're welcome into His family, right? And so, this morning, that's what we're going to be looking at. But when you think about greeting cards, okay, what are the companies that maybe come to your mind? Hallmark, okay. What is there any more? Gibson Spring. Okay, I haven't heard of that one, but I don't buy a lot of cards either. So, but yeah, well, when I thought of it, two of them came to mind: American Greeting and Hallmark. And Hallmark easily kind of taking most of the what I think of cards, and that's actually kind of what we're going to think about this morning. So when we think of Hallmark, what is the phrase that we associate with them? Does anybody know it? So their phrase, or some one of their mottos is Hallmark, when you care enough to send the best, okay? That's kind of their saying. So my question for you is, how many of us actually check our cards to see if it's from Hallmark? Anybody? March does? Okay. Pam does? Okay. I'm going to have to make sure I get you guys some Hallmark cards. But I don't usually check it. Some people do, but that's kind of what they've instilled into our minds, is that they've set a standard, right? Okay. So, how many of you are willing to bet that Hallmark created Father's Day to bring more money into the card business? Anybody want to take that bet? Well, they didn't. It would be hilarious if they would have, but they didn't. Today, we're going to explore the origin of Father's Day. We're also going to look at our Heavenly Father's world and what it means to live as God's children this morning. So, Father's Day. Happy Father's Day again, first off. So what is the origin of Father's Day? Well, in my research, I came across an author named Sherry Sicard, okay? And she kind of wrote about the origin of Father's Day a little bit, and this is what I found. She wrote, "The celebration of Dad's special day can most likely be credited to Mr. Johnson B. Dodd of Washington State, who first suggested the idea of the holiday in 1909, okay? Mr. Dodd's father, Civil War veteran William Smart, was widowed when his wife died in childbirth with their sixth children, despite the obvious hardships, okay? Mr. Smart proceeded to raise their newborn along with five other children by himself, okay? It wasn't until Mr. Dodd is a Mrs. Dodd, first off. Anyways, Sonora Dodd became an adult that she realized the strength and selflessness of her father had shown in raising his children as a single parent, okay? The original date chosen for the holiday was June 5th. That was Mr. Smart's birthday, okay? However, the celebration was postponed until June 19th, the third Sunday in June, because there was not enough time to prepare for it, apparently. At about the same time, in various towns across America, other people were beginning to celebrate a Father's Day as well. Some accounts credit Miss Charles Clayton of West Virginia as the founder of Father's Day, although most historians still give credit to Mrs. Dodd. In 1924, President Calvin Coolidge supported the idea of National Father's Day, but it never became official until 1966 when President Lyndon Johnson signed the presidential proclamation that set aside the third Sunday of June as Father's Day. And then in 1972, President Nixon made it permanent by signing a congregational resolution which called for the official recognition of Father's Day. So that's a little history. Like most things we associate as something special like Father's Day, there's kind of two maybe where did it come from, and we're not quite sure, but it kind of gives you a little bit of idea, right? And I would like to say Father's Day is not as old as Mother's Day. Mother's Day's kind of been celebrated probably longer. But nevertheless, the role that fathers have in the life of their families is very important, right? The Bible helps us to understand that earthly fathers should live a life that resembles the traits of our Heavenly Father, okay? That's what the Bible tells us. So this morning, we are going to look at our Father's world and how He runs it. So this is our Father's world. So God created this world, right? We see that in Genesis 1:1, and it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Okay? The earth is His. What is on it, He created as well. This morning, we're going to take another look at what Mark read for us this morning in Ephesians. So if you turn there with me, if you would like, that's going to be our scripture reference this morning as well. Ephesians 3 is what Mark shared, 14 through 19. And I am going to read that for us again. Okay. So Ephesians 3, verse 14 through 19 says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that according to the wealth of His glory, He will grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner person, that Christ will dwell in your hearts through faith, so that because you have been rooted and grounded in love, you will be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and the height and depth, and thus to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you will be filled up to all the fullness of God." So we are called, church, to be rooted and to be grounded in love, right? Well, this love is directly from God. Okay? And because we have this love, we are called to take care of His world. Okay? As believers, we are called to take care of His world. So how do we do this? So we're kind of called to be stewards of God's creation. Okay? God made us stewards of this world that He created us. That's what we've been called to do, right? Are we doing a good job of taking care of the world that He made? We hear a lot about going green these days, right? A lot of electric cars, which are they actually good for the environment? I mean, they're still getting power from somewhere. There's a lot of questions I have still, but at the same time, we hear about the economy and how certain it is, right? We watch gas prices rise and then slightly lower. And then rise, and then slightly lower again. If you believe it, I remember gas being very cheap. I was alive for that, surprisingly. Although it wasn't very long of my life that I remember that. But we see succession and failure in the stock market. It goes up and down. It rises and falls. Companies whose futures are in jeopardy. Preserving our natural resources, preserving endangered species, these are things that we notice throughout our lifetime, right? It's safe to say we can't control things that are beyond our control, right? But what we can do is we can be responsible for the things that we can control, right? That we are in control of. Matthew 28:19 says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations." So what does this have to do with stewardship, you may ask? Well, let's find out. As stewards of God's creation, we are workers in God's vineyard, okay? Let's remember the story that Jesus shares in Matthew 20. I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but there's a landowner who goes and hires some workers, right, in the morning, okay, to do, and he promises them a pay, a certain pay for their work. He then goes out later and hires more workers and promises them the same pay. And so on and so forth until the evening, and he hires his last workers and he promises them the same pay, right? When the end of the day came, the landowner said to his manager to pay the workers, starting with those who had been hired last, okay? Those who begin working at 5 p.m. were given their daily rate, which was, he promised one silver coin, okay? When it came to those he had been hired first, early in the morning, they thought they were going to receive more, right? What they were too given the same as the people who were hired at 5. They were angry because they had done a lot more work than those who had been later in the day. The landowner did not listen to their complaints and reminded them that they had agreed on a day's pay, and that's what they agreed on, right? Now, we're not going to dive into all of that. That's just an example of showing, church, that we are here to work in God's vineyard, to work. He's called us, okay? And it's our job to tend to the world around us, to take care of God's vineyard, church. And a little spoiler, if you don't know this already, we're all going to end up getting paid the same, okay? And that's fantastic in my book. Whether you accept Christ on your deathbed or you've been living for him for your whole life, we're all going to receive the same thing, and that's the joy of it, right? So, next, as stewards of God's creation, we are to be good Samaritans, okay? I may have not got that one on there. We have a responsibility to reach out to the lost, right? Jesus said in Matthew 9:37 that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, right? So what does that mean, the harvest is plentiful? There's many who need Jesus' redemption, his salvation, right? The workers are few. We are the workers, church. We are called to be the workers. We have a responsibility to help those who are like sheep without a shepherd, okay? They're lost. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do, right? So, the next one, as stewards of God's creation, we are to be our brother's keeper. So, we are the keeper of our brothers and sisters, right? John 15:12 says, My commandment is this, to love one another just as I have loved you. We are called to demonstrate God's love in our actions to our brothers and sisters, which are sitting right next to us, church. Many of us have family, physical brothers and sisters who aren't believers, right? We're called to show love to them, okay? And a lot of the times, that's harder to do than a complete stranger, right? It's more challenging, okay? Next, as stewards of God's creation, we are to love God and neighbor. We can kind of almost go back to that verse we talked about for our brother's keeper, John 15:12. My commandment is this, to love one another just as I loved you, right? We are called to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, right? We are called to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind and strength, church. The ways that we love God is reflected in the ways that we love our neighbor, okay? If we treat our neighbors awful, how are we treating God, okay? Those things need to be almost a mirror of themselves as much as we can, right? Lastly, as stewards of God's creation, we are to be known as disciples. Jesus had disciples, right? Okay? We are called to be disciples. What does it mean to be a disciple? To be a disciple means, church, that we don't just receive salvation and create this relationship with God and we stop there. Discipleship means there's growth. There's learning happening, right? We're growing in who we are in God. We're growing in our knowledge of the Word. We're growing in the teachings of Jesus. That's what we should be doing. Others will know that we are disciples by the way that we live and love, okay? If you're an awful person to somebody, they're not going to see Jesus in you. In fact, if they know that or have any inkling that you are a believer, that may damage your chance or the reputation of Christianity to them, okay? So, all of that helps us to be workers in God's vineyard. So the next one I want to look at is living as God's children. So have you ever listened to how the Lord Prayer goes? I know we all know it by heart. We're actually going to say it together. Actually, I was going to use my version, the NET, which is the... I can't remember what it actually stands for. Anyways, it's a newer version, and it sounded really weird, and I didn't want to confuse anybody. But let's say it together. So, say it with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And of course, sorry, there's a little bit more, but I didn't add it. Of course, that's found in Matthew 6, if you want to look it up, 9 through 13. But, church, this prayer has so much in it, right? There's so much packed into this little prayer. And we're going to look at this morning. First, God's name. That's the first point. The Lord's Prayer teaches us that we are to live in such a way that it brings glory to God's name. God should come first in our prayer in the same way He should come first in our lives. Church, if we're not putting God first, we need to re-examine. Okay? Nothing else matters if we're not putting God first. Okay? The next part, inspiring others. Not only will living as God's children bring glory to His name, but it will also help others, even unbelievers, to see God's work in our lives. If someone can look at your life and see a difference in your life compared to their life, that's a testament all within itself, right? But if someone can't tell a difference between you and how they live in their sinful life, and that's a problem. We need to be inspiring to others in how we live our lives. Right? The third part is resident aliens. Okay? When we live as God's children and seek to do His will on earth as it is done in heaven, we make the world a better place because we demonstrate two things. Okay? The first thing we demonstrate is that God's kingdom is on earth. Church, that's something that a lot of people have time struggling. We have the promises of heaven right here on earth, okay? They can be manifest to us now. Secondly, we demonstrate that we are citizens of His kingdom that is not of this world. So again, we are leaving the old world behind, right? And we're stepping in to a new world, okay? And our lives are going to look different. How I raise my children are completely different than how somebody else raises their children, okay? The morals I'm trying to ingrain into them are different than other people, right? Okay? As a dad, Growing up, I used to be able to watch really whatever I wanted. But now, I'm watching old movies I used to watch as a kid, and I'm like, there's a lot of stuff that I don't really agree with, right? And I think of my kids, I'm like, well, are they going to perceive this and take it the wrong way? But that's part of growing in who I am as a believer, right? We start to become clearer on things that might not have been clear before, okay? Fourth, recognizing God as our source, right? So God is our source, and he demonstrates that in the way that he takes care of our daily needs, right? He's our daily bread. This morning with the kids in Savannah, we talked about how God provides for the birds of the air food for them, right? And he provides clothing for the flowers amongst the grass. How much more does God love us than he does the birds of the air and the flowers, right? He provides for us. If we don't recognize God as our source, then we are sure to get off course, okay? Let's see. Number five, reflect God. As God's children, we are called to imitate God's character. Being forgiven of others even when they do not deserve it is part of that character, church. Okay? We are going to be hurt. Okay? People are going to say something, do something that hurts who we are. We don't have to wait for them to apologize to forgive them. Okay? We can go ahead and forgive them, right? All right. We are called to trust God. We have to remember that God delivers us and protects us like a shepherd protects his sheep, right? Because just because we kind of have an idea of what's going on, we're still lost, right? We're still confused in this world, and we continue to need the ultimate shepherd, right? Jesus once looked at a crowd and likened them to sheep without a shepherd, right? Lost sheep can feel isolated, they can feel vulnerable, and they can feel scared, okay? There's a story about a little boy, we're getting close to being done this morning, but there's a story about a little boy who was on a plane one day and that was experiencing violent turbulence, right? The plane was going up and down, right, all over the place. And there was a lady sitting next to this boy who was terrified, okay? She couldn't understand why the little boy was happily playing and having fun at this moment. After a little bit of observing this child, she couldn't stand it any longer. She said, "Little boy, please stop. Stop having so much fun. How can you have so much fun when the plane is going through all this turbulence, all this up and down and everywhere?" Well, the little boy put his hand on the lady's hand and said, "Lady, my daddy is the pilot, okay? When your daddy is the pilot, you can handle the turbulence because you know that he's got it all under control, right? God's our pilot. Even though we may be going, like we're talking about in Jonah, we're going through storms maybe. God's in control, and we got to remember that. Knowing that God, as our Heavenly Father, can give us a peace that the world can never equal, right? We have to keep that in mind each and every day. And I want to close with this last story. It's kind of long, so bear with me. So one morning, while waiting to have breakfast, a professor who was on vacation noticed a distinguished-looking, white-haired man visiting with the guests. The professor made the comment to his wife that he hoped the man would not visit their table. Of course, he did visit the professor's table, and this is their conversation. The distinguished man came up and said, "Where are you guys from?" he asked in a friendly voice. The professor said, "Oklahoma," they answered. I thought about changing to Kansas, but I was like, eh. Anyways, the distinguished man said, "Great to have you here in Tennessee." They were in Tennessee. The stranger said, "What do you do for a living?" The professor said, "I teach a seminary," he replied. The distinguished man said, "Oh, so you teach preachers how to preach. Well, I've got a really great story that I think you would like." Okay? And with that, this gentleman pulled up a chair and sat down at the table with the couple. The professor groaned and thought to himself, "Great, just what I need, another preacher story." Okay? So the distinguished man goes on to say that, he says, "You see the mountains over there," pointing out of the restaurant window? "Not far from the base of the mountain, there was a boy born to an unwed mother. He had a hard time growing up because every place he went, he was always asked the same question. 'Hey boy, who is your daddy?' Whether he was at school, in the grocery store, the drugstore, people would ask him the same question. 'Who's your daddy?' Right? He would hide at recess and lunchtime from other students. He would avoid going into stores because that question hurt him so bad. When he was about 12 years old, a new preacher had come into town, right? He would always go in late and kind of slip into the side so he wouldn't be noticed. And so people wouldn't ask him who his dad was. But one day, the new preacher said the benediction so fast that he got caught and he had to walk out with everybody else. Just about that time he got to the back door, the new preacher, not knowing anything about this kid, right, put his hand on his shoulder and asked him, 'Son, who's your dad?' The whole church got quiet. He could feel every eye in the church looking at him. Now everyone who finally knew the answer to the question, 'Who's your dad?' This preacher thought, though, sensed the situation around him and using discernment that only the Holy Spirit could provide, said the following to the scared little boy. 'Wait a minute.'" This is what he said. "Wait a minute. I know who you are. I see the family resemblance now. You are a child of God." With that, he patted the boy on his shoulders and said, "Boy, you've got a great inheritance. Go and claim it." With that, the boy smiled for the first time in a long time and walked out the door a changed person. He was never the same again, church. Whenever anybody asked him who his dad was, he'd just tell them, "I'm a child of God," right? The distinguished gentleman got up from the table and said, "Isn't that a great story?" The professor said that it was a great story. And the man turned to leave and said, "You know, if that new preacher hadn't told me that I was one of God's children, I probably never would have amounted to anything." And he walked away. The seminary professor and his wife were stunned. He called the waitress over and asked her, "Do you know who that man was, the one who just left sitting at our table?" The waitress grinned and said, "Of course, everybody knows him, right?" She said, "That's Ben Hopper, and he was the governor of Tennessee." Someone in your life today may need to be reminded that they're a child of God, because that can be a huge impact in our life. Okay? It defines who we are, right? And this is one of the times where it's okay to let something define who we are, church. We are children of God. Okay? This Father's Day, whether you're a dad or not a dad, I want all the men to know and hear that we are called to be spiritual leaders of our household, okay? You don't have to be a father to be a spiritual leader of your household. Someone may look up to you. Just because you're not a father, someone may look up to you. If you are a father, I almost guarantee somebody's looking up to you. Okay? We can take this truth and let it help us to understand what it means to be a father this morning. I'm going to invite Savannah and Janessa up this morning as we close. And they're going to pass out some goodies to all the men in the church this morning. Whether you're a father or not a father, we want to honor you still the same. So, Savannah and Janessa, I'll have you guys, if